Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from the UCB Theater in Hollywood in front of a live audience. That's them. Many of whom are waiting to see Comedy Death Ray, which is a weekly comedy show at UCB that never fails to delight. I had a delightful time in Salt Lake City at Wise Guys and Austin, Texas at the Cap City Comedy Club last weekend. Every time I play Cap City, this thing called Austin Cake Ball leaves some cake balls in the dressing room at the comedy club, and I just have to say they are fantastic. And if you love cake and balls, you'll love cake balls. They didn't ask for any sponsorship, but when somebody just gives you cake balls every time you come to town, you feel grateful. So go to austincakeball.com. And check it out. You can get cake balls through the mail. Speaking of cake balls, don't forget to go to DougBensonTickets.com to sign up to attend a taping of The Benson Interruption, my new Comedy Central show at the Music Box Theater in Hollywood. Starting, the first one's Monday night, October 11th. And once again, that's DougBensonTickets.com. And don't forget, we're taping another road edition of Doug Loves Movies on Monday, October 4th, 2010 at Zany's in Chicago. And also I'll be performing with Graham Elwood at Helium in Portland, Oregon, October 14th through the 17th. I'm doing all the plugs now at the beginning of the show because we always run out of time at the end. And I realize that that's not really a good way to do plugs, is to speed through them. Like, I'm going to be in Zany's Chicago and also Portland of 17th. See you there. Okay. Guess what? This is the 100th free episode of Doug Loves Movies. And yeah, I've done 100 of these things right here in this theater. And to celebrate, I'd like to introduce you to two of your favorite guests and one guest who will no doubt become a favorite. Please welcome Jimmy Pardo, Paul F. Tompkins, and John Lithgow. Yeah!
Doug, if I may, I'm going to pretend that was for me.
I am going to take a chunk of it. I'll take a little of that.
I got a broken chair, by the way.
Oh, Jimmy's got a broken chair. We got to swap it out with that one over there. I don't know where that person is. But oh, that's going to be nice.
Yep.
There you go. Jimmy's got a new chair.
Showtime.
Here we go. So he's finally here. Thank you, John Lithgow. And it's go, right? Not gal?
It's go.
Okay.
It's
go. I thought I was saying it right, but you know how people are. They'll insist it's the other way, and it's not. But thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. You are in L.A. for just like 48 hours.
That's right.
And then you're off to entertain the heartland.
Exactly. I start barnstorming tomorrow morning. I'm going on tour for the month of October, 11 cities. I'll be in Tyler, Texas, two nights from now, and Galveston, Lexington, Pittsfield. You see, I am promoting myself.
That'd be awesome if there were listeners to the podcast in Galveston or Pittsfield.
I think it'd be amazing if people knew where Tyler was at all.
Tyler, well...
Where's Tyler, John?
Right outside of Dallas.
Love it.
Yeah. Big D.
The podcast will be available for people to listen to on Friday. So if you're in Tyler, Texas right now, you missed a great John Lithgow performance last night.
Eat your heart out,
Tyler. You should feel like shit. Yeah, yeah.
Language.
Eat your heart out. Oh, swearing in front of Mr. Lithgow is going to happen. That's what I'm here for.
I don't like it. Respect.
Okay. We'll see which way Paul goes on this in a few moments. Because, right, it's kind of fun to swear in front of him. You got to admit it.
I just like swearing any old time. But in front of famous people, it's even more exciting. There's something intoxicating about it. And especially a famous religious person like a pope. That is
like in front of a priest.
That's the holy grail of swearing.
Well, of course, you've played religious figures. You wouldn't let children dance at one point
in
your
career.
That's
right. That's right.
That's right.
I've slapped a Bible in my day. I've thumped a Bible, but I've never played a pope.
First time.
Never say never.
Right?
Just get real feeble, and I'm sure the part will be offered to you. You still got another 30, 40 years before you'll be in the right age range be a pope.
It's the Pope and King Lear. I'm just...
What if you combined them and did Pope Lear?
Pope Lear.
Which is not bad. Why aren't there more Pope movies?
Good. Because that'd be horrible.
What? Come on. Not every movie is going to be great, Jimmy, but there's got to be some great Pope scripts out there that are not getting developed.
There cannot be a single good Pope script.
Oh, I bet there's a Pope movie on the way.
There's no doubt
about it. Thank you, John Lithgow.
Jack completely backpedaled. You know what? He's right.
Spy Pope. That's right. I said Spy Pope. Who would ever suspect the Pope of being a spy? Zero people would. He could be taking all kinds of pictures with his hat or whatever.
He could totally be wearing a wire.
Yeah.
Whenever he
got all that
with
shit
people.
Going on, who knows what he's got in there?
Language.
So this long journey started at the beginning of 2010.
Were we ever so young?
When I said I'd like to have Mr. John Lithgow on my show because it's 2010, and I couldn't think of any better reason than that, than start haranguing him and everyone he knows until he finally it comes in. And so you were in the movie 2010.
Yes, I was.
Based on the year 2010.
Mm-hmm. And we all thought it was so far in the future.
Did it really seem like super far away?
Yeah, I remember one of my props was a great big, huge camera, a video camera the size of a shoebox that was strapped to my belt. And we thought this was so incredibly futuristic. You can actually take a movie with this.
The smallest anything had ever been.
That's awesome. And
good
when you were making, yeah.
Good follow-up, pal. Man, take a nice anecdote about a movie. That's awesome.
I'm saving good one, dude, for later. But no, I was going to say when you were making the movie. That's another thing about the future. Do you think it ever even crossed your mind for a fleeting second that someday you'd be on a podcast talking about making that movie in the very year that movie is supposed to take place?
Completely inconceivable.
Do you think because podcasts had not been invented yet, and that's probably why you didn't think of it?
Although there was a pod. I had a scene in a pod.
Oh, there we go.
Now that you mentioned it.
And he was a member of the cast.
Yeah, that's right.
Your podcast.
So close!
Bam!
So close to thinking of it.
So your son, Nathan, tweeted me when he heard that I was begging for you to come on the show. He said, you know, I listen to the podcast and I will hook it up. And so here we are. But what I want to know is, why is his Twitter name Newt Gingrich? He spells it Newt, N-O-O-T, Gingrich. Is your son's name on Twitter? Do you have any idea why he picked that?
No, you're going to have him on and ask him.
He's in a band, right?
Yeah, he's in a band, Arp Line. And
anyone? Yeah, really?
Really?
He's a great bass awesome. Player, great band.
What's the name of the band again, Jen?
Arp Line.
Arp?
Yeah.
It's A-A-R-P-L-I-N-E.
That's right. Check it out. And he also plays with Cheryl Warden in My Brightest Diamond and with a band called Inlets. So, and he's been struggling hard to create this union between you and me. Doug, all year long, he's been saying, "Dad, you got to do Doug Benson." And in recent weeks, total strangers on the street have been saying, "Dude, you got to do Doug Benson." So I've decided it's time to do Doug Benson.
Yeah, it's time to make it happen. Now it'll be, "Dude, you did Doug Benson."
Wow. Now, Mr. Lithgow, were any of these strangers about your son's height and they had a beard that included ear straps?
What? Repeat the question?
Oh, nothing. This sounds like a case for the spy pope.
Nice setup and delivery.
Very nice.
So, John, did you know...
What'd you do? Oh, you pointed your finger? Mm-hmm. I'm not like it. How'd you do that? Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Jimmy Pardo here, to my left...
Hi, John.
Was in a motion picture that you were also in, and he got cut out of it, unfortunately.
I did.
I've just
But justifiably.
And you're...
right. I'm not very good.
And your role and your long-haired wig that you wore in that role remained in the movie.
That's right. I made the cut, and he was cut.
I was cut. Yeah.
That's what happens in this town. It's star power versus Jimmy Pardo.
Right. I was also cut out of The Informant. I was cut out of 90% of every movie I've ever been in. That's true.
Well, I was cut out of a great comedy movie. Anybody know what I was cut out of?
Anybody?
Oh, I know.
Show yourself.
This guy knows.
Oh, there's a guy.
LA Story.
LA Story. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice call. Yeah.
I was cut out of LA Story, and I was fucking hilarious.
Language. Don't curse in front of John Lithgow.
Mr. Lithgow, please.
He says that to himself in the mirror every day.
Exactly.
Do not curse in front.
We haven't guessed what Jimmy was cut out of, though.
Oh, I thought the long hair was going to give it away for you.
No, but it hasn't.
You don't remember wearing long hair in a movie?
Recently. Long hair.
Anybody? This I don't know if this crowd would have gone to that movie.
Dream Girls.
One guy. That's right.
Was it? Yeah, that was in a movie. I was, John, the third white guy that would have been in that film?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know, but it was part of my contract that there be only two white guys in Dream Girls.
So I got cut loose.
He was number three.
It was you and Krakowski.
And Krasinski. Krasinski and me and Beyonce.
And Beyonce.
John and I got to stand sit there and stare at Beyonce all morning.
Yeah, like in a nice tropical setting. Mm-hmm. Or by a pool.
Well, by a swimming pool at
she's
the Hotel
beautiful.
Roosevelt.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. She's a lovely
girl.
She was
gorgeous
in that scene.
Very good.
She's lovely. I didn't notice her in that scene, though, because I was obsessed with your wig.
I was doing everything I could to pull focus. And by God, I failed, actually.
If I can't physically overact, I'm going to wig overact.
Well, you know, I was there.
We got to the bottom of that.
I was there in the early 70s, and there was hair like that. I insisted on
it. Oh, yeah, it was believable in that sense, but also crazy.
Do you, is that, was that what it was like in the 70s? People were just walking around like, we look crazy. Look at us.
They all said, we want to look crazy.
Right?
We like don't look crazy
flag
enough.
Fly. I hear you. I hear you, John Lithgow. I don't like that guy at all.
Spy Pope.
Come back to the...
I almost actually just said, because I did write it down, have you ever been cut out of anything? That would have been a funny thing to ask right at that moment. But this is from Twitter. Someone wrote this to me a long time ago, so I don't remember who it was. But did anyone, when you were working on Dexter, did anyone discuss the fact that in a previous season of the show, Dexter is seen watching Harry and the Hendersons? And that when he finally meets the Trinity Killer, he should be like, what's up, dude from Harry and the Hendersons? Oh.
He never watched Harry and the Hendersons, did he?
His character in a previous season.
No.
Outraged. No, the devil you say. Like, how dare you,
like,
sir?
He watched it like he's on a shitty date with Rita or something, and they were just sitting on the couch watching Harry and the Hendersons.
You know, that movie has had some revival. It was the entire premise of an episode of 30 Rock, in which I played myself.
That's right.
I made a sort of a deus ex machina entrance at the end. You know, after Alec Baldwin had spent the entire episode parodying me.
But yeah, that was awesome. I love that episode and that you showed up at the end. I was like, if only he'll show up on my podcast, then all will be right with the world.
Well, you know.
I like that it's almost like you're still trying to pressure him into appearing on
the
podcast.
Yeah, please. Before you go tonight, I'm going to convince you to do this podcast. It's like, I am going to get you on board.
No,
like muscle memory in your throat.
You're going to miss wishing that I was on your show.
You know what?
All right. Well, I did not know what to say now, so let's throw it to from the Paul F. Tompcast.
Pod F. Tompcast.
Pod F.
It's going well.
Why did I bother?
The Palfcast. And from Never Not Funny, Jimmy Pardo. Both of these gentlemen have podcasts.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. But Paul, have you prepared a question for Mr. Lithgow?
No, but I've prepared a brief statement. Now, we appeared, you and I, sir, appeared on a television program years ago, but
what?
Not together, and we did not actually meet. It was the first time I ever performed stand-up comedy on national television, Late Night with Conan O'Brien, 1997. And you were the lead.
This shit's blowing his mind.
Are you
shitting me? You are in a bathtub.
For the listener, John Lithgow is looking at me as if I'm about to tell him I am his father. You were the lead
He's
guest.
He's a very nice man.
You were the lead guest. The second guest was scheduled to be a young actress who, at the time, was outraged that you, technically at the time, a television actor, would be the first guest. So she bailed on appearing. Coincidentally, she was there to promote a TV movie. But she left. And so they called Dave Chappelle, who was high out of his mind, and told them so when they called him to appear on the show. He actually said, do you have any idea how high I am? And they said, all you have to do is come here and sit down in the chair. So he showed up. He was on after you. He kept his hands in his hoodie pockets the whole time, even when he was gesturing and talking. So his hands would come up and he would like point at things but keeping his fists in the hoodie. And
like
I went out
kangaroo.
Last. And that was the first time I ever did stand-up on TV.
Wow. It must have been like the first time I was ever on Conan.
Oh, yeah. Everybody said you were an asshole. But I thought, why are they confiding this to me? I'm just like the comic on at the end. They're like, he is the worst.
But you probably left after your segment.
Yes, I'll tell you this. I don't even remember Chappelle being on the show with me. So
why
so
would
don't,
you?
So don't take it.
Yeah,
hard.
That guy that shuffled if by you in the hallway looking at his shoes. Why would you think that's the next guest?
Actually,
national talk show.
Actually, I went to a play in New York with my son Nate, and Chappelle introduced himself to me and said how much he admired me. And I said, thank you very much, not having the slightest idea who he was. And my son, Nathan, stared at me and said, you are such an asshole.
So the rumors are true.
Although once I rode on an airplane next to Lou Reed once, and we became great pals. I went to another play with Nathan, and Lou Reed came up and hugged me, and I hugged him back. Lou, John, like we were the oldest friends. And Nathan looked at me and said, "You are such an asshole." I absolutely can't win.
I believe that was the first tweet that I got was, "I'll get my asshole dad to do your show."
And he did.
And he did.
Next stop, Lou Reed. Hooray! Did Lou Reed have that mullet at the time when you met him on the plane?
No, he looked like Lou Reed.
All right. He had that weird mullet for a while.
Mad at you about it.
Well,
no!
He was sitting there looking at a tiny DVD player watching Tai Chi in slow motion.
Of course he was.
He was.
Of course he was.
I swear to God. Like for a half an hour or so. While I was trying to get up my nerve to say, "Aren't you Lou Reed?" You know,
that's like 1% more relaxing than someone just sitting next to you talking about Tai Chi.
So,
of course he was.
Back to John Lithgow.
Oh.
Do you ever get to see movies with your busy schedule of...
You know, I see a lot fewer movies than I used to, but then movies aren't as good as they used to be.
That one, you know,
I got a mixed reaction.
It's true. Ever since the talkie.
I don't know. I've just...
It is interesting, though, that it is interesting that, like, you did great film work in a TV series. Like, the TV shows have some of the most amazing stories and acting, and the fact that they make a new one every week, I don't know why they're so much better than a lot of movies are these days.
Well, I don't know. There is this amazing new niche, the work that's being done on cable. I mean, that's the work that I'm kind of obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Kind of like my teenage years when I had to watch every episode every week of some dumb show. That's how I am now with Mad Men and now...
Breaking Bad.
Dexter.
One Life to Live. That's on every day.
Dexter will be fun for you to watch this next season. The whole time you just be like, "Oh, if I were still alive. The stuff I would do to Dexter. Put me back in there. I'll be this Trinity Killer's cousin that looks just like him.
The Quadrangle Killer.
Gets tired of getting shit from people, so he starts killing them."
Sure. Actually, I heard from the writers, last month at the Emmys that they had huge fights halfway through the season last year, like throwing things against the wall fights, disagreeing over whether or not Trinity should roll over to the next season. Apparently there was a contingent that wanted him to die like 4 or 5 episodes into the next season. They never told me about
that. Which contingent do you agree with?
No, I think I died when I should die.
I like that attitude.
I know a good exit when I see one.
That's where we're all trying to get to, right? That's what we're all trying to get to. I think I died when I should have.
And most serial killers don't get in a ha-ha last one when they're supposed to be dead.
That is true.
That's so sweet. And you set up a new season of, No More Rita, which, you know, lovely actress, but she's dragging Dexter down.
She just puts
that baby in one of those Baby Bjorn things and go out and murder people. Like, no more, I'll be home in time for dinner and all that stuff he had to go through.
And Julie Benz, she did come back to life. She's on this No Ordinary
Family. She's a superhero
family.
Now. Yeah. That's what happens when you get murdered by the Trinity Killer.
Exactly.
Because it gives you superpowers.
Like,
now she can run really fast.
I feel like some sort of kingmaker, you know?
Well, keep on doing it. You could be the next Betty White.
And I'm afraid I already am.
You don't have to campaign to host SNL. You did it and were amazing at it. The amazing acting sketch where you would
show off your incredible
overacting skills.
When I did SNL, I did it 3 times in the 80s, and the second 2 times, the writers on the staff were Bonnie and Terry Turner, who created Third Rock from the Sun. Mm-hmm. It came right out of SNL.
Right. It came out of you just storming around screaming like a madman all the time. They're like, oh, let's make this a show.
Exactly.
This guy always seems like he's about to explode. And was it, how weird is it to just win the Emmy every year, year after year on that show? Like, did you feel bad about anyone that tried to go up against you?
You actually do feel a little bad. not that bad. You feel much worse when you finally begin to lose, I'll tell you that. But, you know, actually the third time I won, I was almost embarrassed. I got up there and I don't know if you remember, but I said, I'm embarrassed myself. I actually imitated myself. They had run a clip from Third Rock earlier in the evening where it was about nudity or something. Kristen Johnston was offered to have her photo taken for a centerfold in Playboy. And I went up to her and I said, what? You're going to have your naked body on the inside of a teenage boy's locker in a high school, stark naked, for all the world to see? Good for you! And when I accepted the Emmy, I said, I don't know why I got this. Every actor I know in Hollywood thinks what I do on Third Rock is completely disgraceful. I mean, you saw it up there earlier this evening. Good for you! I mean, I'm embarrassed myself. But that was the last time I won.
And then your son called you an asshole.
Dumb, nice speech, asshole.
Yeah.
We could have a fourth one holding up this table.
That's why they put you...
That was the goal.
That was the goal, right? The table's got no legs.
Glass top table.
Right?
Four Emmys.
Four Emmys holding up.
Yes. It's every actor's dream.
How awesome would that be?
It started with Danny Thomas.
Ah! Four people get that.
Exactly.
Four people.
That's more than should.
Yeah, that's enough people.
That's more than should.
Okay, so I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I'm just so happy to be a part of it. Do you guys have any more questions? I have another one here written down.
No further questions.
Go to that then.
Okay. Do you have any characters like in the Lithgow pantheon that like people are the most obsessed about and ask you the most about and quote to people?
Probably not. Right.
Well, want you to say.
It depends. I mean,
what's like the line people want to hear you say the most? There's so many to choose from, of course.
Laugh while you can, monkey boy. I have these different contingencies, you know.
Right.
In fact, I once gave a high school assembly where I did a life achievement tribute ceremony for myself. In which I didn't show clips. I simply did lines like terms of endearment. You must be from New York, or world according to Garp. I had a great pair of hands, or Harry and the Hendersons, or the Twilight Zone movie. There's a man on the wing of this plane. But I think.
Do them all. Do them all.
Keep going.
Do every movie. I will name them. You do them.
Oh, and then how
blow
about,
out.
Oh, see if
I'm gonna murder
see
you.
If, see if you.
You can say that for a lot of your movies.
How about this one? Do you know what love is? Sacrifice.
You played Anthony Hopkins in a movie?
No. He played me in a movie.
Total burn. Burn on Anthony Hopkins.
No, that was Cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah. With Sylvester Stallone, of course.
Sure.
Who's like your favorite, you know, big time actor to have had the opportunity to work with?
Who is
co-star?
My?
Is that
who?
The word?
Well, you know.
Lots
you're
of great
often
ones.
The villain or the lady.
You know, I absolutely loved working with Deborah Winger. in terms of endearment. She was just fantastic.
That's a good one. Yeah. That movie's on my always makes me cry list.
Oh my God!
Because you remember the name of that little kid in the scene at the end when he's crying by her hospital bed.
Wonderful.
It's a memorable name. His name's Huckleberry Fox.
That's right.
And I don't know whatever happened to him, but that kid crying makes me cry every time.
Yeah. Well, time him crying and his big brother not crying. I mean that.
Right.
That's what was so.
Yes. You're speaking my language. I'm trying to think of another movie you can do a quote from.
Well, you got to go with the Loose, don't you?
What's that?
Footloose.
Yeah.
You got to go with Footloose.
It was one of It was one of the incredibly cool things about Third Rock that we got to parody. I got to parody scenes. You know, there were moments in Third Rock when I would suddenly do exactly what I'd done in a movie. Like there was the Twilight Zone moment when I saw something on the wing of this plane, and it turned out to be the engine. You know, it was, the Footloose when Tommy had his garage band, and I stormed in and said, "Rock and roll music is," you know, and banged on the. But the best of all was when I had saved a chipmunk from a car, being run over by a car. The chipmunk was injured and was at the veterinary hospital with IV tubes and everything. And I came storming out into the sort of nurse's area and said, "Give my chipmunk his drugs!" You know, that was me being Shirley MacLaine.
Another very affecting scene. I didn't necessarily cry, but it was...
You mean Third Rock? Or
No, the scene from Terms of Endearment. But... yeah, I guess I didn't need to say that,
but I did.
So, of all the movies you've been in, do you have a particular favorite?
Well, I think the best movie I've been in is
Buckaroo Banzai. Oh, sorry.
What'd you say?
Buckaroo
Banzai.
Well, Buckaroo Banzai was certainly one of the most out there. I loved doing it. We laughed constantly making that film.
Of course.
In fact, it's not only ridiculous, it's incredibly cheesy, you know. I just watched it. They showed it at the L.A. Film Festival. They had an evening called Over the Top with John Lithgow. And they showed Buckaroo Banzai in the Twilight Zone. But there is a moment toward the end.
Did they show just your part of the Twilight Zone, or did everybody have to sit through three stories?
Just my part.
Oh, thank goodness.
but there, the moment when Chris Lloyd, as John Big Booty, gives me the finger... Yeah. At that moment, if you look, I'm in one corner of the frame, kissing my helmet and putting it on my head, and laughing myself silly. So thank God that's not where your eye is at the moment. But if you ever, those of you who are curious and weird, you know, go ahead, just run through.
Go look at it, weirdos. Bunch of time on your hand, losers. But also that character could just break out laughing at any time anyway.
God, it was fantastic.
A crazy performance, and so
I
loved it.
Is Buckaroo Banzai your favorite Billy Vera performance, or do you?
Well, on film, I think it's his only.
Unless the band appeared in something, he might have been in a movie singing that song.
It was my.
What would you think?
Go, guys.
If I hear this moment.
This again. It's not.
Could it hear? What's wrong?
I feel like you're smushing some words together.
No,
just a sound.
You're not clearly
Give
hearing
it to me
this.
One more time. What would you think? Yes. Now you're really doing it to such a crazy degree.
Everybody else is hearing it crisply.
I almost feel like you're doing it on purpose.
No, I'm singing it crisply.
You're not even saying the word crisply. You're throwing an H in there.
Pardon me?
Crisply.
You're hurtful.
I am.
I have a speech impediment that doesn't allow me to sing Billy Vera songs.
That is very specific.
And you're going to call me out on it?
That is very specific.
It's from a Family Ties injury. Remember when he was in the train terminal? And then Tracy Pollan showed up, and he's there, and he showed up in the tuxedo, and then that song played.
You lost me at not saying the words right to that song.
What would you think? I would.
Let's play the Leonard Maltin game.
Let's do it!
John, you've listened to the show, and so you seem to have a grasp on how to play, which yep. I can't say for many of the guests that come on.
Uh-huh. Do you mean the people that you tell them about the game when they're sitting out here in front of the audience?
Why don't you get this?
Those people?
Yeah, I kind of have to talk them through it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've never listened to the show.
Right.
Can you imagine like being on like Jeopardy and never having watched it? And I'll just figure it out as we go.
Well, hold on a second.
In fairness,
they do tell you backstage at Jeopardy, hey, well, you know how Jeopardy is played, right?
But not... I ask people that all the time, and they go, oh, yeah, I got it, and then they don't know what they're doing.
Fair enough, Doug. Fair enough.
What would you think?
Yes, keep going. Now you're throwing in extra words, but at the wrong
place. What's wrong? What's up?
Nothing.
You're misunderstanding me.
I probably am.
It's my favorite song of all time.
LMG.
Let's play the game. We'll start with Mr. Lithgow.
Mm-hmm.
You could choose a category between these three. Family.
Pick names.
Good call.
Yeah, those dumb people that come out here, they don't have to play the game.
I forget to select the yeah, exactly. If they don't know, no one's going to know.
Exactly.
So go ahead, Jimmy, and select someone, preferably with a name tag, preferably sitting close by.
This young lady has a name tag right there. What is your name, young lady?
Marima.
Okay, nope.
Okay, we got a pass on Marima. I have a feeling he won't go with Colt.
You know what? I gotta go with Marima.
Okay, Marima.
Yes, you have.
Marima reason.
I want Marima. I want Marima.
Marima me zone. Cajun guy showed up.
I don't like him.
He made an appearance.
Do you know what they call the windma?
Marima.
That's right. All right.
Marima. Marima. That's my playing partner.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
My at-home playing partner.
She's right here in the theater. Paul, who would you like to play for?
Well, there's certainly a lot of people with name tags. Everybody's holding them up. I have to go. Hold on. Let me just look over here.
Don't ignore that side.
Yep. I'm going to go with Waldman.
Got to, right?
Waldman. Yeah.
Little boy Waldman.
Yeah.
Good work, Waldman. And John Lithgow, who would you like to?
Well, just
play
so I don't
for?
Get confused, I'm going to play for John over here. Yes.
All right. He is on your side of the room. Okay, so John.
I feel a little bad for Joe. I'm not going to lie.
I feel a little bad for Joe. He knew the movie that Mr. Lithgow had been cut out of.
Yeah, the job true.
Which he had been cut out. Forgive me.
Ships him.
Also, John, would it have killed you to put 316 under your name? I mean, do I have to spell it out for everybody? Good God.
Good God.
But at least he wore the rainbow wigs.
Yes.
Where do you live, dude?
I live here.
In L.A.?
Yes.
All right, he'll be back.
He'll be back. Shut up. Stop complaining, Joe. Oh, that Joe drives me crazy.
You and I both, brother.
What is it about him?
I don't know. Beard.
Probably the beard.
Probably the beard. Bring it on.
Beard makes him complain.
Marima.
Please, boys, if not in front of the guest.
He's enjoying it.
It is fun. We'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Would you like the category family films, musicals, or movies ladies like, a.k.a. chick flicks?
I think ladies like all those films.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to have
family
music.
Family films.
Musicals.
You like musicals? Okay.
Sure.
Would you like a musical from 1979 or 2006?
Ooh. 2006.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Leonard Maltin gives...
I'm not ready!
All right.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie 3 stars. It's from 2006.
Out of 4 or 5? What does Leonard do again?
Out of bomb to 4.
Bomb to 4.
Yeah. It's got that extra bomb category.
Right. That's not a good film.
Let's
just so we're clear, bomb falls in that lineup.
All right. 3 stars, and he says about it,
musicals.
It features an emotion-charged performance. And
what? That's terrible writing. Features an emotion-charged performance.
Yeah.
You think it should be emotionally?
It's like he dashed that one up on the train or something.
Gives, well, you know, he has to write a lot of these.
Yeah, fair enough.
And
fair enough. Treating him like a real Joe.
He does. Leonard doesn't deserve that.
They both have beards.
He also says it's pure entertainment.
Pure entertainment.
Yes.
But only three stars. Three stars. Pure entertainment.
2006.
2000s.
And it says it's a motion charged performance by one of the performers, and there are 14 names. How many names do you think you can get it in? JL.
Four.
Wow. Amazing opening bid. I like it. It's like you're from another planet or something.
Lithgow.
Now come down here to Jimmy. You're next.
Goes four.
Yeah. Goes four right out of the box.
I'll go three. I'll play the game.
All right.
I came to play.
He's
okay,
in for
good.
Three.
Name that movie.
Oh.
How do you like it?
I don't. 2006 musical.
You get three names.
Yeah, let me hear
it. Pure entertainment.
From
you
the
get,
top, right?
You get, yes. No, from the bottom of the list.
Oh! Then I'll say 13.
See, this is what I was talking about. People will do that because they don't know how to play the game. Jimmy's doing it for humor.
Entertainment value, yes.
Don Lewis is in this movie.
Who is? Don or
Lewis?
Don?
Don.
Don Lewis.
Don Lewis with two N's on Don.
You know, I don't care for that.
Well, that's racist.
It's one too many N's.
And the next name is John Krakowski. Some call him Krasinski.
But we know this.
And the third name is John Lithgow.
Okay, it's Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls? Is that your guess?
I'm going to go with Dreamgirls.
You want to? You sure? That is correct. Jimmy got a point.
Christ's sake. He's mad about it.
This is horse shit.
That was a
this
gimme.
This is horse shit.
That was, I can't believe you.
Horse shit.
Wait, he had to make a bold bid. None of you knew it was Dreamgirls before. You
I did.
The names.
2006 musical. It was that.
It was
or,
the only one.
Or the other one.
Two of the people on the dance were in this movie. That was stacked against me.
All right. Then.
Yes, now I admit it. I haven't seen Dreamgirls, you guys.
In fairness,
you would have got it if you'd have said two names, though, because Krasinski would have been one of them. We were just talking.
I would have been confused by the Krakowski thing. Like, I don't know. Is Doug trying to psych me out
first time? All right.
My first guess was Conan 94.
We'll go to John Lithgow to pick the next round category.
97. I wasn't ready in 94.
Absolutely.
Here are the categories.
This is me or John?
John's going to start.
Mr. Lithgow.
We'll go with the aforementioned chick flicks. Motion pictures starring John Travolta, or movies in which John Lithgow acts like a lunatic.
I go with Dreamgirls.
I think I'll go with the Travolta films.
There we go.
Okay.
Johnny T.
Nice choice. Would you like 1981 or 1998?
81.
Okay. A lot of confidence there. Leonard Maltin gives this 2.5 stars.
Two and a half fucking stars?
That's right. There's no reason to take it personally that we know of. He calls it intriguing. But then at the end, he says there's logic loopholes.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't disagree.
2.5
Fair
stars.
Fair enough, John.
From 1981. And there are 5 names. How many names do you think you can get it in?
This is Blowout.
Yes.
Now that's that is cheating.
Why is Blowout?
Why do you have to be in so many movies? I try to run an honest game.
But I knew it.
The
that
man
was the,
shows up in everything.
I wanted him to say one. I would have said zero. That was
all right,
amazing.
All right.
Well, I had to win something for John
this
before
game
I fucked it up.
Let's see what happens now.
This game is over in my heart.
Wait a minute. Does he get a point for that? Or do we?
Yeah, he gets a point.
How does he get a point? All right.
Because you knew it also?
I did know it also.
All right. Everybody knew it.
All right.
Did you know it?
After the Dreamgirls thing, yes, of course I see. John Travolta movies out of nowhere.
It could have been Look Who's Talking.
Was that the other John Travolta movie?
No.
No, it wasn't, was it?
Do you know what it was?
I'll give you one.
What's the other one? What's the other one?
What year? What year? Doesn't matter. What other movie was John Lithgow and John Travolta in together?
The Expert.
First one to get it right. No, that's wrong.
I know.
First one gets a point.
I know.
He knows it.
I know.
He knows it.
I know. Call me. Call me.
No idea?
No, I don't fucking know.
Who was Mr. Lithgow? He seems to know.
A Civil Action.
A Civil Action. Another point for Lithgow.
No. No, that's not a point. That is not a point.
All right, he gets to keep his point.
He can keep his blowout point.
Okay, he keeps his blowout point.
He does not get a point for that.
He's never coming back. Why would you give him more? Don't let him win.
Oh, I'm coming back now.
Bring it on, let's go. Bring it on.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You weren't in 21. You say that a lot in 21.
Okay.
I hope that becomes the thing people ask you to say from now on.
It's my wife and I are celebrating our anniversary. Could you please say winner, winner, chicken dinner?
And do say it like a lunatic. All right, Paul, you get to pick the category.
Oh, great.
Would you like Lithgow acts like a lunatic?
Say.
Or actors directing. That category was submitted by Daydreamer Boy on Twitter.
Oh.
Ugh. Yeah, right?
Or the films of Brian De Palma.
Oh, jeez, could that be blow up?
I think I might want to go with the films of Brian De Palma.
Okay. Really? Here we go. Paul gets to start us off with picking a year. Would you like 76 or 92?
Mm.
Both 19s.
Oh, hard
no,
guess.
No future De Palma films?
No, and none before cinema was invented.
Oh, it's Brian De Palma then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So none from Lucius De Palma or De Palma X14?
Old timey and future.
76 or 92?
76 or 92. I'm going to go 92.
Okay. 92 De Palma.
And I'm trying to come up with the
name of
it right
now. Two stars from Leonard Maltin.
I thought of it earlier. And
that cocksucker.
He knows it. He already knows it.
Say
no,
it
he, just,
Paul.
He just assumes he's in it.
Oh, come on,
he
Doug.
Just assumes he's in it.
You got to change categories.
He would have said that no matter
he knows
what
his
it
resume.
That's not like a line from the movie.
You're not going to fool Lithgow.
Okay, but it starts with Paul.
Yes.
I'll give you some clues. Lithgow's the whole show here. And not for the faint-hearted.
Why are we even doing this? Say zero.
It doesn't matter because I can name that movie in negative one names.
Yes, okay. Now this is an interesting part.
Name. Negative two.
See? Now, see?
Hang on! Hang on!
That's why!
Everybody, shut the fuck up!
Hang on! Hang on a minute! God,
hang on a minute!
Move.
Hang on!
Go.
Here's why this game fucking sucks with three people.
The fix
is because I'm in the fucking middle, and I can't ever get to a point where I get to guess a goddamn movie. This is...
It's also
shit of horses.
He's also picking this guy.
Yes, no, I know.
Everything's a lift. He knows his movies.
I know.
He's dumb. He's not some dottery old man that you
I'm not saying
here.
That's not
listen,
my point.
It was
I'm
hilarious when I did it to Tom Arnold.
Because he's a doped up junkie.
He's a man who shakes naturally. He shakes naturally.
I know Tom. But don't moan me. I know Tom.
He's got a lot of energy.
Tom's
a
good friend. They're such good friends. They shoot up together.
Oh, you kidding me? Me, him, and C-Love.
Now, there's an interesting, but there's a...
Courtney.
Hang on. You're up next. You still have a chance in this.
Yeah, okay.
And so do you.
I can't...
Okay, I'm insulted that you said that to me just now.
So he's got to do negative two names, but here's the thing. They have to be in the proper order of billing, as according to the credits, because that's the order that Len puts them in. So you have to know the first name, then the second name. Now, where are you at, Jimmy? Do you think you have any idea what this
can
is?
Can I tell you how to get a point here? I'll say.
Oh, please.
I'll say three. You say four. Forces him to give him an order. I don't think he can do it.
I like the way you think.
Right?
Bring it on, Lithgow. 2-1 on Lithgow films.
What do you say?
Well, I know the movie, but I can't name any names other than one.
Well, you and it's not even give him. That away because now Paul can get a point.
No, wait,
by turning around.
What did John
say?
He's not going to do that.
That's I was going to. Oh,
of course, I was going to do that. I'm the scorpion frog.
We shook on it.
I know. It's in my nature.
We shook on it.
It's in my nature. But now I can't do it.
All right, negative
the joke
three.
Is blown.
Wait, what are we at? Negative three?
Yeah.
How did you say, John? Two?
Negative two.
Negative three.
All right, so now.
Now I feel like I know what's going to happen. What did you say, negative three?
That's right.
Yeah, so you could say negative four.
You have
name
to.
That movie in negative four names.
Oh, no, I know what's going to happen.
I'm completely confused.
Well, now he's got to name in the proper order from the beginning all the way through four names.
Oh, the billing. You mean according to billing?
Yeah, according to billing. Got to be clear about that.
Good luck. Very convenient you missed this explanation the first time around, John Lithgow. Very convenient indeed. I think a certain Nathan Lithgow is a good judge of character.
Newt.
Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, follow Newt Gingrich. And also, it's John_Lithgow to follow you on Twitter.
That's true.
Lithgow, if you don't say negative five, I will punch you in the mouth. I'm not kidding. Heads
That's
are going
to
roll.
To
You're going to go in Tyler with a bloody lip if you don't see -5 tomorrow.
I'm still confused.
So you would have to either say the name -5 names, like so you'd have to name from the top each name in the proper order, the five leading cast members in the movie. Or you can say to Paul, who's bid four negative names, to name that.
Oh, he has to name them.
Yeah,
he has to name the four.
Okay, here you go.
You can't do it!
You guys hatched that plan right in front of him.
I'm playing for John over here. So
yeah, John.
Oh, that's right.
John has got. He's thinking about the person he's playing
I'm
for.
I'm also playing for John over here.
There's only five names total, correct?
What?
How many names are there?
There's 9 names.
Oh, 9. I thought you said
yeah.
5.
He did say 5.
He
earlier.
Did say 5.
No. There was somebody that bid 5. That was the opening bid.
No.
I disagree with that.
You said it's 5 names.
If only this were recorded, we could listen back to it.
I don't think I said how many names.
I don't even fucking remember.
I don't think I ever said how many names.
All right, let's get this over with.
Because
all right, the movie.
Crazy.
The movie is Raising Kane.
Yeah, we all
That's
know
correct.
The movie.
First build. John Lithgow.
Okay.
Second build. I want to say RuPaul.
Paul, I have to say, I did not see this coming.
Second build. I'm going to take a gamble here. Nancy Allen? Oh. Is that after they split up? Or were they still in
yeah,
that time?
Yeah, she didn't make the cut anymore.
She didn't make the cut anymore?
No. She was two and out with her husband.
Then that's all I got.
Who did you said is the second name?
Lolita Davidovich.
Mm-hmm. And then?
Stephen Bauer.
Correct. And then?
Francis Stern.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then? Who's next after Francis?
Greg Henry?
Yes.
No! Whoa! John!
I don't care that he was in it. That's impressive. That's impressive. The
I
next
don't disagree.
One you will not get.
If he does, I will punch him in the mouth.
No, I...
Either way, I'm taking a swing.
Stop threatening him.
How many more are left?
There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names left.
Those are all me.
Oh, really? That's what they did? They put in fake names in the credits for all the other characters?
Well, I played 5 roles.
The next name's Tom Bauer.
Oh, Tom, of course.
Tommy.
Tommy!
Oh, I must call him.
I'll tell you what, Bauer and I would sit around.
Now, look, I've been angry about this game before, but I have never been angrier about this game since the person that's beating me is in all of the movies that we're talking about.
I don't disagree
with
you.
Can you believe that?
You stay out of it, partner.
I'm helping you.
It's like it was stacked against you guys.
Yes.
Like someone I've been trying to get on the show forever finally agreed to it, and I just thought I'd throw him a little bone.
He doesn't need a bone. He knows he's a good player.
Why do you suppose I agreed to be on the show? Think about it. Think about it.
What a world
yes.
this is. What a world this
do
is.
Do think about it, monkey boy.
When you guys were talking about Buckaroo Banzai earlier, were you talking about the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension?
Yes, that's the
oh,
one.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I yes. thought you were.
Yeah. We shortened it for time.
Is anybody else ready to cut loose?
Footloose?
Footloose! Thinking about kicking off my Sunday shoes.
Jeez!
Why are your Sunday shoes Wait. Still on?
What's that?
It's Tuesday.
I don't shower until Thursday. And I keep my shoes
in
on.
A hole? Sure, absolutely. Keep your shoes on.
Right?
Sunday through.
I step on a lot of hot coals.
Absolutely, you do.
I do not want the risk of not having a shoe on.
Not at all.
All right, so John, you're our winner, and you won for John in the audience. You can withhold your prize.
What's that?
Paul, you could not contribute to the prize package.
Oh, I'll do that
of,
yes.
a way of...
That's my protest. That's right. my protest.
Jimmy brought a nice shirt.
Nope, he doesn't get that on.
Okay, here you go. You get that back.
Thank you.
And so...
Maraima?
All you win is... Oh, Maraima got the shirt. All you win is my CD-DVD, Hypocritical Oath. And I don't think I've got enough rope to reach him, so please pass that back. And
what's he
going to
get?
And John Lithgow says he's going to make a drawing and then give it to you.
Talented art.
He's going to create a work of art on this stage. Not like we haven't already. What an amazing show. Can't wait to have John Lithgow back on with two other people.
I will make it up to Waldman.
Well, Waldman also gets the great consolation prize.
Oh, well then fuck you, Waldman.
This is a 5-second self-portrait. Well, make it 10 seconds. All right. 15.
There These are the scribbles of Lithgow.
And
that's who, new
and
album
now
movie.
I'm confused. Is this for John?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
There we go.
Oh, you were going to draw your dick and then you changed your mind? Okay, I'll give him the man version. Look at that!
Yeah!
That is awesome.
If you, by the way, if you think that's impressive, I've got one of those by Tom Bauer. Tommy
oh,
B.
Tom. Would you have anything you'd like to plug, Jimmy?
You know what? My podcast, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny, in two episodes, we are releasing a full-length, as though it's a paid subscriber base, as most people know. We are releasing a full episode for free featuring the great John Hamm.
Ooh.
That'll be out in 2 weeks.
That guy is good. Paul, anything coming up?
My podcast, the Pod Def Tomcast, drops the first of every month. And then when will this be available to people? This very podcast
this
we're on
this
right now.
This one will be turns out first of the month, October 1st is when.
Well, there you go.
This will plop on that very day. So
I will be at Republic in New Orleans on Saturday, October 2nd.
Oh, wow.
And then Baton Rouge in a couple weeks after that. Oh. That show's probably going to get canceled.
Oh, we'll stir up some podcast listeners for you. And
the tickets are in the 20s right canceled. Now. Tickets are in the 20s.
It'll get there plenty of time. Louisiana,
plenty
a little
of time,
slow.
What's a couple pal?
Plenty of time to cancel it, too. Yeah, it's a stadium. Okay. Maybe I was shooting too high.
Maybe. A lot of people don't want to go to stadiums for comedy. That's,
yeah.
that's why they come out in such low numbers.
I was going
to
have screens.
John, do your friends call you anything other than John or just John?
Go, go.
Just John.
Okay. I was just. You've been out a lot of Johns. They call Jack, or you might have, you know, they might call you Emilio Lizardo or whatever.
No, not that I can think of.
Why would his friends be that insane?
If I was his friend, that's what I would call him. I shortened it to doctor, of course.
Sure. No, out of respect.
Professional courtesy.
John, do you have any thoughts on Hector Elizondo? As an actor, you think he's terrific?
He's a fabulous actor. Actually, I just saw Hector a couple of weeks ago in Sun Valley.
How's
funny,
he doing?
Funny you should mention it.
Is he all right?
Why do you ask?
Did anything
Because
happen?
He's here tonight! to say he did not see you in Sun Valley.
Your story's full of holes, Go-Go!
I've never been...
Oh, Go-Go. Finally, you have a nickname.
Go-Go
with
Johnny
John
Lithgow.
All this time, yeah.
Johnny Go-Go!
I love it.
I like it. We like it.
So look for, what's the name of your show? Stories by Heart.
Okay. Stories by Heart. I'll do 11 cities. One of these days, you guys will be in the same city, and I'll come see you.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
That'll be exciting.
We'd love
burn
that.
Burn barns together.
My God, yeah. I better get a Lou Reed reception. I want to be hugged and then hear your son call you an asshole.
Hey, Jimmy, you're an asshole, dude.
Newt is going to love this.
He loves it. He gets it.
Is it because Nate Lithgow sounds like Newt Gingrich?
I have no idea.
Because that would be a dumb reason, because they don't.
Maybe he's got
right.
bad hearing.
I'll ask him. Or, no, everybody write to him. It's Newt, N-O-O-T, Gingrich. Write to him and say, why is that your name?
Yeah, Twitter bomb this guy.
Yeah, totally Twitter bomb.
I want this guy to be sorry he ever joined Twitter. I want this guy.
I think he can handle 100 people coming and writing something about him.
You think they're going to stop at one tweet?
They're obsessed. Well, let's have a big round of applause for my guest, John Lithgow. The great Paul F. Tompkins and the great Jimmy Pardo. Hang on, it's not over. As always, Daniel Tosh is a shithead. And John Big Boutte is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of bolted viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in